Yes, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Altogether lovely. Everything about you, Jesus. Even the things we don't even know about you, they're beautiful. All the mysteries that surround you, it's just beautiful, Lord. We love your hands and your feet, your brow. We love the way you move. We love the Ruach of God, the breath, the spirit wind that you blow upon us. Come tonight with the spirit of revelation. Open our eyes to the mysteries of the cross. Open our eyes to that portal of eternity into that heavenly gateway. And give us the master key of this great awakening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Do anything you want. You've been told what to do already, so I'm not going to tell you. You know, if you want to lay down, sit down, go eat, sleep, come back an hour, we'll probably still be here. I want to share with you tonight a word that the Lord has given me, and I so vividly remember that January time when Pastor Glenn and all of you were fasting, or many of you anyway were skinny. I mean, you're all fasting, and it was just tremendous. This is just absolutely one of the most beautiful, wonderful landing zones of the Holy Spirit I've ever been in. I absolutely love this church. The truth is, I bought a one-way ticket to get here, and I, you know, you don't know me very well, but believe me, I bought a one-way ticket, and that means whatever it means. I have no plan on leaving until Mama makes me. Or, oh, hi, Candace. She's taking care of some family matters back home. She'll be flying up Tuesday to be with us for next week. But tonight, I want to just share. I want to tag on to everything that's been done this week, and I did get to watch last night the beautiful worship and the expression of love you gave to Jesus, and that wonderful word from Isaiah 55 that your pastor brought. And you know, the Lord has such a plan for this outpouring. Look at this. I mean, this is what, day five, and the church is packed. I would imagine there's 1,000 people watching online. Hello, Australia. Hello, Canada. Hello, nations of the earth. Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Michigan. I know of a number of states that are logged on, and we welcome you as our guests here tonight, and you're going to get zapped by God just like the rest of us before the night's over. But the yearning I'm feeling as we go now into this next level is that, and the dream that Philip had as well, is that lever was the glory level, the level. And he's wanting to take us deeper. And tonight, I want to share with you what could be. I'll let you and the Holy Spirit discern the truth of this. But it could be the master key for the great awakening that is about to come. You say, wow, what profound truth is that? Well, are you sitting down? I'll tell you. This is a glory revival. This is an awakening of glory. And I want to share with you that where the glory comes from, where it streams from, where we can tap into it, and how we can release it into our churches, our families, our region, and our nation. You see, Jesus is the Prince of Glory. You know, he's the King of Glory. It says in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O you gates. You know, gates don't have heads, people do. So when it says lift up your heads, it's speaking about you and I. Lifting up our heads, we become the living gateways for the King of Glory to come through. He's the Glory King of eternity, the Glory King of all. He is the Lord of Glory. He's called the Glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given to us the gospel of the glory of God. Can you imagine that the good news that we speak, we are releasing the gospel of the glory of God. We're not releasing a denominational gospel or our pet doctrines or our own, you know, with a spin on it, our own nuanced subtlety that we want to add on to the gospel. It's just raw, right out of the can, glory of God. The gospel of the glory of God. And if the gospel doesn't have glory in it, it's probably not the gospel. So don't water it down. Don't dilute it. We have to have the unfiltered glory of God come into New England. Now, I've lived here long enough to know something about New Englanders and New Yorkers. We're not moved easily. It's going to take something special. That's putting it mildly. It's going to take, it's not going to be the ordinary. It's not maintaining what's been done. Status quo lethargy isn't going to move us into revival. There's got to be the authentic expression and outpouring of glory in this awakening. And Pastor Glenn on Sunday, as he tried to close the service, the prayer was, show us your glory. Bam! Maybe there's a fireball with my name on it. I'll take it, Pastor Glenn, and you can finish the service. But I want that glory, don't you? Come on, man. I'm speaking to some of you boomers right now. You need the glory of God. That'll awaken you. That'll put a destiny and a purpose back into your life for the next 30 years. And the young people that are here, you need to be tainted and soaked and marinated and like dripping wet with the glory of God. There's something about the cross that is the key to the glory of God. Now, when you talk about the cross, so many people get religious. And we get introspective, and it's like if you mention the cross, then everybody's like, feel bad on the count of three. One, two, three. Bummer. Oh, I put Jesus on the cross. Let me tell you what. The cross is a love feast. The cross is the place of ecstasy. The cross is the mystical realm of bliss where God opened up heaven's portal for mankind, and every sin, all of it, was washed away. Jesus received the cross. He longed for it. He actually called it, it's the glory. He said, it's the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Would you say that if the next day you were going to be crucified? He called it to be glorified. Going to the cross in John 12, he says, I'm going to be glorified. There's something about the cross that glorifies Jesus. Listen to me, I won't be long, but it's going to be good. The cross is an eternal moment. There's something about the cross that stands above time. Because Jesus was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Before time ever began, the cross was enshrined forever. In the eternity past, God said the cross will be the center point of time in human history. The Lamb was crucified, slain. Do you know the hand that made Adam was pierced with a nail? The hand that formed man out of Play-Doh or mud or whatever it was, the dirt. That hand that molded the eyes and the ear and the neck and the shoulder of that human being called Adam. And of course, his beautiful wife, Eve. But I'm telling you, the hand that formed humans had a nail print. The marked maker. The crucified Lamb. God, the Son, the Creator of all things. Not only is the cross stand above time in that it was from eternity past, but in eternity future. The cross is not a detour. The cross is not a stopping point you go on the way to greater things. Do you know that the Lamb seated on the throne, he's actually in the center of the throne, is a Lamb who's been wounded, crucified, slain. A slain Lamb rules the universe. So the cross is now the throne, and the throne has become the cross. And God now rules out of the place of sacrifice. So the revelation of the cross stands above every other topic, every other theme. It's eternal. It's worthy of another look. And that know-it-all mentality that says, well, I sang at the cross, the last church I was in, at the cross, and the, you know, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but, yeah, that's really good. Those are wonderful hymns, and I love those too. But there's revelation waiting. The mystical glory of the cross is going to be unveiled to this generation, and it will become the key that unlocks eternity. It will become the gateway, the portal for God's glory to stream down. A pure and spotless lamb has become the source of incomparable ecstasy. He delights the Father, and He delights you and I. And here He is in His broken, wounded place at the cross. That beautiful man, you're going to see Him tonight. The Lord's going to take you tonight, and you're going to see in vision the revelation of the cross. Did you know the word in Acts 2:17 where it says that in the last days He's going to pour out His Spirit and people are going to see visions? The word visions, I can't wait to translate this in the Passion Translation, but the word vision can actually be translated divinely appointed appearances. Divinely appointed appearances. Jesus is appearing to people. Jesus appeared to our friend. Isn't that awesome testimony tonight that you shared, brother? Thank you. I don't know if you know this, but there is a mosque in West Africa that an entire mosque has been converted because of appearances of Jesus to the imams, and He led his entire mosque to Jesus Christ. And they don't know what to do. I've heard story after story of our beautiful Islamic friends where Jesus is appearing to them. Jesus really loves them. He made a lot of them. I mean, they're everywhere. You know, you got to deal with this. And we got to reach them is what we have to do. You don't reach them by hating them. You reach them by loving them. And as we love them in with the glorious gospel. So the other day I was saying, Lord, why is it You're appearing to all the imams and You're appearing to all the these Muslim people everywhere? Why don't You appear to Christians? Why don't You come to our pastors? Why don't You start showing up to our worship leaders? Invade the dreams of my people. Show up, Lord. He said, don't worry. I have already started. Divinely appointed appearances. In the last days, He will give you divinely appointed appearances. I think it's actually not just possible, but it's actually going to become somewhat normal to have appearances of Jesus coming to people. He came to Paul, Saul, and made him Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus. And he showed up to his prophets. He showed up to his you know, evangelists and pastors. And the truth is, He's going to start showing up more and more. Where He's asked for, where He's hungered after. The divine ecstasy of the cross is something so beautiful that it is a feast for you and I. The cross is not this thing that is so religious that only religious people still have Jesus on the cross. You know what? I'm thinking about wearing a cross with Jesus on it. Just to freak everybody. You know, that'll freak out the religious spirit in some of the non-religious people. Jesus is on the cross. There's something about Jesus on the cross that is beautiful. Let me say this clearly. You cannot see Jesus on a cross and be the same person. It will change you. It will harden you. Or it will set you apart to love Him more. But to see the beautiful Lamb of God, the beautiful Son of God hanging on a cross. Oh, we want to get past that. Let's get to the resurrection. Let's get to Easter. Well, that's okay. I'll shout and jump with you at Easter too. But beloved, there's a mystery for this awakening, for this generation. The revelation of the cross will unlock heaven's deepest river and deepest mysteries for this bride, for the bride's revival. It's the revelation of the cross. You know, the lamb is to be eaten. The Passover lamb, they ate the lamb. They ate the whole thing. They roasted the lamb after keeping it in their house for 4 days. You know how many of their little kids fell in love with that lammy for 4 days? You bring a cute little fluffy lamb into your house for 4 days. Susie and Billy and Johnny, they're going to love that little lammy. You feed it, maybe milk bottle, you know, and then you cut its throat and you eat it for Passover. I just thought I'd get your attention here a little bit. And that lamb has to be eaten. And you know, Jesus has to be eaten. The revelation of the cross, you have to taste it and then you'll see it. You want to see before you taste. The Lord says, no, taste it and you'll see it. The deepest revelation of the cross is waiting for those who will eat the lamb. Did you know the Passover lamb? It says that they were to eat the head, the legs, and the inner parts of the lamb. I think the head is the leadership, the headship, the authority, the majesty of Jesus. We need to see that on the cross and eat it. And the legs, it speaks of his walk, how he lived, how he carried a cross, how he walked in humility, meekness, and let people mistreat him without mistreating them in return. His legs, eat that. We need to eat the lamb. And then his innermost parts, who he really is, how he pleases the Father. You know, he's the delight to the Father. Everything the Father loves, Jesus, fulfilled and satisfied. In him I am well pleased. Thank God we're in him. That means he's well pleased with you and I. So we eat this revelation. We don't just, you know, take a portion of it and a little snack cracker and juicy cup. We eat the lamb. We feed and feast our soul in the divine ecstasy of the cross of Jesus Christ. This ecstasy is not meant for heaven. It's meant for your heart today. Heaven's ecstasy is a realm that's full of glory. The atmosphere is glory. And as you breathe in that atmosphere, your senses become alive and you're filled with the glory of God. I really want meetings where the glory of God is being poured out. I've seen spitting preachers. I guess I've been one of those a time or two. I've heard the hot, you know, let's scream and dance music. And I'm into that. Even at 40, I still like that. But there's something about the glory when you are touched, when you are wrapped around and blanketed and covered inside of that realm where Christ is in you and you are in him and the two have become one and the divine mystery of man and God mingling, the God-man rising up within us like Ezekiel's whirlwind, the man out of the fire. That realm of mystery and divine delight and bliss, it's waiting not when we die, but when we enter in the revelation of the cross right now. Feast your soul on the cross. You will have the breakthrough. You will have what you're longing for. You will have the real Jesus. You know, God says, seek my face, right? That's not what it really says in the Hebrew. It says, seek my faces. God has many faces. When he says, come to me and seek my face, he's saying, come and get all of me. Don't take the face you're used to, the Baptist face, the Presbyterian face, the Assembly of God face, the prophetic face, the young adult face, the boomer face, the Western church face. Come and seek my faces. You see, God is so complex, mysterious, and glorious, transcendent above everything and everyone, that it requires a constant pursuit, a continual gaze and looking at the cross, looking at the suffering of Jesus, looking at the glory of Jesus, looking at the love of God, looking even at the things that he hates. We want to understand that. We got to eat the whole lamb, and we have to seek every one of the faces of God. So our message is a message of glory and ecstasy. Our message is not a set of rules. And this awakening is not just to give people a nice life. It's, you know, it's not just to give people a comfortable religion. This is to cut across the very grain and the nature of who we are and to bring us into who he is. It's the revelation of glory. That's our message. It's not a doctrine. It's not a teaching. It's not our pet understanding of the scriptures. It's our one Bible verse that we always want to quote or use. It's the full manifestation of glory. It's the splendor. It's the majesty. It's the I don't get it revelation of God. And to the Western mindset that wants to have everything figured out, you know, God just loves to show up with mystery. That's his name, Mr. Reed. All right. The 12 apostles, when they walked with Jesus, they lived with him every single day. They left their business. They left their career. You know, I translated Luke, and I'm translating it right now. And when Peter, when he said to Peter, come, and I will give you grace to catch men, not just fish. And it says, immediately, Peter left his fish and his nets. Dude, he just caught like a epic fish catch. I mean, like, dude, every record was broken. Jesus told him where to put the net down. He caught all these fish. He had to call his business partners over to come with their ships and load the fish up until they were nearly sinking. It was like they hit the lotto, bro. And Peter left that, his nets, his boat, his business, his past, his lifestyle with one encounter with glory. Do you know, if you get one encounter in these days of awakening and outpouring here, just one, it will ruin you forever. Your wife won't know what got into you. Your husband's going to go, oh my God, what happened to you? I liked you better the way you were. Your kids are going to freak out. Your parents will freak out over you. But so it is with Jesus. He says, I've come to set a fire on the earth. How I've longed that it already be kindled. So Jesus is the fire, the separating fire. And it's a glory that rests on his people. So back to the 12 apostles. And I'll be done in the next few hours. But these men saw Jesus taken up into heaven's glory. And I'm reading Mark 16 the other day, and it talks, I'm reading the very last verses of Jesus' life and his post-resurrection, after his resurrection, and he talked with his disciples. He said, go into all the world, and then he gave them the greatest revelation. He actually went up in the glory realm in front of their very eyes. And that vision is what changed the world. The 12 men, and there weren't just 12, there were many others that saw this. But those men who saw, and women who saw this, their lives were forever changed because they saw Jesus in glory. The 12 apostles, one of them, they don't know which one for sure, but they believe one of them actually reached the UK in his ministry. Thomas went to India. That's a long ways from Israel. Thomas went to India, and he was martyred in Chennai. I actually had a team with me in India at Madras, Chennai, and there's a place on the beach where they believe this was where Thomas was actually speared to death. Speared to death, guys. Because he was preaching Jesus to his very last breath. He was speaking of Jesus Christ. He saw the glory. The Lord confirmed his words in southern India with great signs and wonders and healings. He raised the dead and miraculous signs even in the sky around him as he walked in India. That was a man who had been with Jesus and saw the glory. And then Peter. You know, Peter was crucified upside down. They were about to kill this man, Peter. And he refused. He said, begged them, do not let me die the way Jesus died. I am not worthy to be crucified the way he was crucified. And because his captives honored him, even in his death, they flipped the cross, head down, feet up, upside down, and there Peter was crucified. He entered into the bliss. He joyfully received the cross. Actually, there's a story. It's not in the Bible, but it's an ancient Jewish tradition, or not Jewish, ancient church tradition, that Peter was running from Nero in Rome. He's running out of Rome so that he would be spared from death. And as he ran out of the city, Jesus met him on the road, appeared right in front of him. and looked at him and said, Peter, where are you going? Peter turned around and went back into the city and said, don't let me die the way my Jesus died. A glimpse of glory. There's a realm in the spirit where men and women of God lose their love of this life. The bliss of eternity far outweighs any momentary pressure or pain that we pass through in this life. There's an ecstasy of the cross. Well, how about Andrew? There was one of the apostles named Andrew. He went as far as Russia and to the Slavic lands. He ended up in Greece where he was martyred. And again, just like Peter, they begged the crucifiers to not crucify him the way Jesus was crucified. So what they did is they actually put him on a poles like this. It was like an X. And to this day, you could Google it or Wikipedia, and you just Google Andrew's cross. And to this day, it's the emblem in Greece, in certain churches in Greece, of the Apostle Andrew, of how he was crucified. Philip, crucified upside down, preached the gospel so powerfully by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. While they were crucifying him, while he was upside down, he was still preaching the gospel so powerfully that the people who nailed him there got saved. And they started to take the nails off because they realized they were killing this man. And Philip begged them not to do it. The bliss of the cross, the ecstasy of glory had captured Philip. There is a generation that's going to be captured by the bliss of God. Can you imagine the apostles coming home after a hard day's work in the kingdom of God and telling each other, can you believe it? I got beaten for Jesus today. And they're missing a tooth and blood and their nose is broke. I got beaten for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He counted me worthy to be beaten. What gets into a man? What would get into a woman to bring us to that place? It's the glory of the cross. You say, I don't want to go there. Well, that's okay. Someone else will take your place. But I'm telling you, deep cries out. Deep is calling out. And I want the apostolic restoration of authentic spirituality in the house, in the church, in the kingdom of God. Don't you? Bartholomew, he was said to be martyred in, forgive my pronunciation, Albanopolis, and it's in Armenia. He was converted nearly the entire Armenian population, Bartholomew. According to one account, he was beheaded, but a more accepted tradition holds that he was flayed alive. That means he was just cut open and then crucified head down. And the reason was because he converted the king of Armenia. And the king's brother got so mad that his brother got converted and the whole kingdom was now going to become Christian that he took Philip and killed him. Did you know there was one ancient Christian? Joseph of Cupertino. Some of you, most of you won't believe me, so you'll end up, the Wikipedia page will have about 500, maybe 1,000 hits tonight. Joseph of Cupertino was not allowed to take communion for 30 years in public. He could not take communion with everybody else. You know why? Because when he took communion, he levitated right off in divine ecstasy, embrace of bliss before God. That's Wikipedia.com. The authentic church history has been hidden from many of us because we've been raised in religious systems that de-spiritualize the church. And the realm of bliss and ecstasy and divine union and oneness with Jesus, where our sin is gone, G-O-N-E, gone. And we are divinely one. Our old man was strung up on a cross and co-crucified with Jesus, and it's no longer active because Christ in us now, as the hope of glory, has activated the DNA of God within our very spirit. And now we are no longer just human beings. We actually have God in us. God in us. Emmanuel is now a people, not a man. And there's a branch company of people. There is the Christ company. There is the overcoming ones that are flowing with his life and glory. There's a deeper realm waiting for this awakening. And it's not going to be the trite, cliches, shallow, worn out, overdone doctrines and music and teachings of the past. It's going to be heart-stopping revelation, jaw-dropping encounters with Jesus, revelation of the angelic and the divine coming into our meetings, and the cooperation of men and God together. The divine duet has begun. And it has begun Mother's Day here in this church. And I'm convinced that this will deepen in the days and weeks to come. And Pentecost is coming soon. And there's going to be another explosion that will rock this place one more time. And then by the summer, I see speakers, loudspeakers outside the building, because you're going to be caught off guard with the crowds. And even a screen set up out there with lawn chairs and people all over the parking lot watching on the big screen where we are enjoying right in here. There's coming a wave of passion and revelation for Jesus Christ. A deeper wave is coming. The deepest understanding of the gospel is coming. I've shared with thousands of people a Bible verse, and they've looked at it. Some of them have read it, but they never understood it. It's 1 Peter 1:5, and it says that there's coming a salvation that you don't even know about yet. In the last days, there is a ready-to-be-revealed salvation. So, well, I already thought I'm saved. You don't know a thing about salvation. You just have a little hint. You have a little clue. It's like saying you know all about Jesus. The sozo of God, the salvation, the full package of what Jesus gave us at the cross, it's ready to be revealed when you're ready to receive it. And it's going to be unveiled in the last kairos, the last days. The word is actually kairos. So the unveiling, it's the actual word of the last book of the Bible, the revelation, the unveiling of a salvation is coming in these last days. This awakening and this revival is to release the profound revelation of who Jesus really is. He's the man of glory, the source of ecstasy. Back to Joseph of Cupertino. It wasn't just that he liked to fly without, you know, frequent flyer miles. He was caught up. You say, well, I can't believe that. Well, you will when you see Pastor Glenn do that here in a few, you know, I don't know. Or maybe Denise, I don't know. Can you believe that? They forbid him to be in public meetings to take communion for 30 years because it caused an uproar. He would take the bread and the cup of bliss. He would be intoxicated with the glory and ecstasy of the cross. And he went into a realm where he lifted up in front of everybody. This is not your father's revival. Dude, this generation is going to have signs and wonders. All that Jesus has promised. Divinely appointed appearances. Dreams. Profound dreams that shake us. As God begins to pour out his spirit into New England and into this house. The revival is here. It's a revival of the glory. The best way I can describe it. It's a fireball and a comet. And an avalanche and a volcano and a geyser and a tempest and a cyclone and a waterfall and a spinning cloud of fire all rolled into one times 10. That's what's coming. And there's going to be a high school that's going to get converted very close to this church. Something's going to break loose in a high school campus. God is going to capture a high school. Mine. Kind of like like Columbine. God's going to come and take a campus for His glory. And it's going to shock the world what He does right here in this wonderful, beautiful, you know, New Connecticut, Connecticut, York, wherever we are right here. I've got to stop, but I don't want to, guys. The ecstasy is going to possess you. It's going to just overwhelm you, overmaster you. It's going to bring you to the place where you actually absorb the glory. Joseph of Cupertino, when he came down and walked out of those meetings, he had such a healing glory all around him that everyone was healed that came in contact with him. And people, this is a true story, they began to rip his clothes off because of the glory of God. And as they would rip his clothes off, it would supernaturally grow back just in front of everyone. And hundreds of people were getting healed. And they wouldn't let him take communion. I'd say, bro, take communion every day. This ecstasy is waiting for you. You have been co-crucified with Jesus Christ. Christ lives in you. The fire of revival that has been lit is heaven's celebration of the cross. It's not simply because of the anointed and tender heart of Pastor Glenn, although that is such a tractor beam. It's such a lightning rod, isn't it? It's such an alluring power for the Holy Spirit to come through this man and through this house. But it transcends that, beloved. It is the cross. And the message we have must be the gospel of glory to the high schools, to Stanford, to Greenwich, to the Big Apple, to this region, up the Hudson Valley, on the Metro North trains, those that are watching at home. It's the gospel of glory. People are going to be converted because you're walking by them. Because you've absorbed something. You've taken the presence. And it's upon you. Peter's shadow released healing. The Jesus glory, when it comes and overshadows you, I'm telling you, you won't have time to pray for all the sick. You'll just have to walk by them. And instead of like praying for all the hundreds and hundreds of sick people, you just lay hands on a hospital wall, bam, and they all get up. The church is going to move from faith in God to the faith of God. And a brand new level of faith, because we're going from faith to faith. And yesterday's faith cannot take us into the new glory. And we go from glory to glory, which means yesterday's glory cannot necessarily catapult us into this next one. We have to have a passion to reach, stretch, get on our tippy toes, and move out and say, God, if I perish, I perish. If everybody thinks I'm nuts, listen, you know the price you're going to pay, Pastor. I can prophesy it to you but I won't. But you know already the price you pay when you say, God, I want you more than anything. I want you more than a mega church. I want you more than a national platform. I want you more than to write a book. I want you more than anything, Jesus. Your name is to be high and lifted up. Your name is famous. Your name is glorified. Your name releases the avalanche. It releases the glory. It brings down the power and the miracles and the awakening of the nations. Your name, Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved but the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's a glory awakening. It has begun. It's going to get deeper. And don't sit smugly back and say, well, it's not exactly what I thought. Good. Then it's probably God, because God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, that's not how I would do a revival. That's not how I would do meetings. Well, really big world out here. Maybe you could start your own meetings. I mean, we'll come to those. But get behind Pastor Glenn and the team and the leaders here. And of course, as we navigate these waters, I would be shocked if we don't make a mistake or a blunder or a clumsy moment from time to time. But God is going to be glorified. Jesus is going to be lifted high. And the cross will bring us into ecstasy. Everybody say, bliss me, Lord. Yeah, I've had the bless me, Lord. I like that, but bliss me is better. Bliss me. Bliss me. Oh, I love the Song of Songs. Someday we'll share that, but oh, the song of all songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And the Shulamite lover keeps praying, let him kiss me, until suddenly she's intoxicated. The wine of his love has lifted her up into the cloud-filled chamber of glory. Ecstasy is coming. Glory is coming. Move the finish line further. Don't settle for false finish lines. Realize that your destiny is infinitely greater. This church, your ministry, infinitely greater than anything we've seen to date. Even what we can imagine. I'm telling you, there's speakers. I see speakers. I'm hearing them even now of the meeting being broadcast and cars stopping on the road with windows down and police escorts. I mean, all kinds of issues coming with the glory that's going to hover over this place. So don't stop. Keep moving forward. Bring people. Let them encounter the real Jesus. Now, before we move to the next thing of praying for everybody, I want to ask my friends, have you entered into the bliss of the cross? Have you received the bliss and the feast, the love feast, the ecstasy of knowing Jesus? Paul said, it's all rubbish. Every part of my identity, everything of my history, the Apostle Paul said, I don't care what accolade or applause you might give. It's all rubbish compared to the excellency, the surpassing glory of knowing Jesus and the ecstasy of his sufferings. Do you know this Jesus? I believe there are some here tonight that have never truly given your heart to Jesus Christ. And the Lord is calling you. He's pulling you even right now while I'm speaking. You're hearing a voice inside of my voice. And it's going into your spirit. And it's saying, my son, my daughter, I'm calling you home. I want you to come back. You've been disappointed. You've been hurt. You've been trashed by others. You've been abused perhaps, but I'm calling you home and I'm going to welcome you as my very son or daughter with the kiss of my lips on your face and on your neck. And I'm going to show you nothing but love from this day forward. That's the Father that's welcoming you back. But you have to say yes. You have to say yes to the cross. You got to open the heart door within you. You see, the door to the truth is not the intellect. The door to the truth is the spirit within you. And when your spirit opens and says, yes, I will, even though you don't know all the answers yet, you don't have all of the dots connected, but you say yes, that yes is translated faith in God's kingdom. And that faith attaches to Jesus and it pulls him right into your life. I hope you followed that, but what I'm saying, folks, is tonight, Jesus is here. I feel his burning presence. I feel the angelic presence. I feel the Holy Spirit pulling you to come to know Jesus. So if you would like to receive Jesus in your life, I'd like for you to stand up. That's all you'll have to do is just stand up. If you want to receive Jesus right now in your life and say, I want Jesus to be my Lord, I don't know for sure. That's good, son. I don't know for sure. There's more. Come on. Thank you. I want to make sure. I want to enter into this bliss of knowing Jesus, not church, not religion. Come on, there's some more. Just go ahead and stand up, young or old, doesn't matter. Stand up real quick, and we're going to pray, and then we want to just lay hands and pray for everybody here tonight until the cows come home. And they're kind of keeping late night anymore. Anyone else? They always come in by twos and twos into the ark. So I know there's another person, someone else today that wants to receive Jesus in your life. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Yeah. You see, what's going to happen by the end of the summer, these meetings are going to be half and half. Half the people coming in are going to be the lost. And we're going to win them to Christ every single night. They're going to be coming to know Jesus. Come to Jesus meetings nightly. And I want you guys to bring your friends tomorrow at 5:30. Those that don't know Jesus. And Pastor Glenn is going to bring an amazing word from God that's going to stir their soul. One last call before I pray. Is there one more? Is there not another? Is there another son? Is there another daughter that's coming home? Jesus is calling you. Jesus, the beautiful, glorious Jesus, is inviting you into the feast of his love. To stand, if that's you, if you're saying yes to him tonight, I want to receive Jesus in my life, like these two friends here. Someone else, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now let's all pray. These two gentlemen, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Put your hand over your heart. Come stand right behind him, sir. And I want to ask all of us now to pray this prayer out loud. Say, well, I already received Jesus. Take him again. Take some more. There's a great big Jesus. Eat the whole lamb. Say it out loud with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I open my heart tonight to the fullness of your cross, the ecstasy and bliss of the love feast of the cross. I want all of you. I receive you into my life. Thank you for washing away my sin and making me your child. I am forever yours, and you are forever mine. I receive you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. God bless you, sir. Thank you for coming out tonight. Father, just bless my friend right now. Kiss of God all over his life. More, Lord. More, more, more. Kiss of God all over his life. There it is. Pastor Glenn, I'm going to ask for your help now. Figure out how to do this. So, this is actually my first night in the meeting. So I think you line them up and knock them over. But, you know, it's okay. You don't have to take a courtesy fall. You know, my good friend, Jill Austin, she was a really treasure to my wife and I and taught us so much of the Holy Spirit. But she'd make people get up. She'd say, get back up. You fell over too easy. Take more. And of course, by the third time, they couldn't even walk for 3 days, you know. But whatever God does, we want him to do. We'll have some people to catch, of course. But you know, the thing is Jesus. It's not falling over that gives you Jesus. You have Jesus already. But, you know, somebody asked me one time, why do people fall over? They said, Pastor, why do people fall over in your church? I said, well, because they can't stand up. Isn't that a bright response, Pastor Glenn?
What I want to ask you to do is, we have many friends that are here with us for the first time this evening in this meeting. And if you haven't, if this is your first night, you haven't been prayed over, you haven't received ministry, I'm going to invite you to come first. If you'd like us to lay hands and pray for you, just to receive that beautiful touch of his presence and glory. What I'd like to ask you to do is to just make a straight line right across the front. If this is your first night here, or if you haven't been prayed over and you want to be prayed over, I need a straight line. So if you can just stand shoulder to shoulder, ushers, Bobby, George, if you can help us get folks into a straight line here. You haven't been prayed for before. This is your first night here. Come closer, if you would. Step closer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I need everybody shoulder to shoulder. Spread out a little bit, shoulder to shoulder. If we need to make a second line, we'll make a second line. Shoulder to shoulder, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's make a... Listen. Everybody listen. How many of you know when Jesus organized people in groups of 50s and 100s and had them sit on the grass? All right, we're going to get organized. All right, I want a second line, and I need you to move back about 6 feet and make a second line, please, shoulder to shoulder. We need to make a third line. We'll make a third line. If you want to receive ministry, if you want to receive prayer tonight, we'll make a third line. All right, help us, ushers, please. Help us, ushers. All the way across to the end. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift up your hands and worship Jesus. Just give your whole self to Him tonight. Come on, just tell Him, Jesus, I want all of you tonight. Jesus, I want all of you tonight. I want everything you have for me. I want our pastors and our prayer teams. I want to invite you to come help us. And we're going to lay hands and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's sing that worship song to Jesus. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.